All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. We dedicate our learning this morning in the zechus of Refuah Shalema for Shoshana Rivka Bas Meira Feika. We dedicate learning. We hope that she has a complete and enduring refuah. Jabo say so. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We are starting on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So today's daf is 37. We're starting 36b. A lot of beautiful Gemara today. So I will say, so we left off Amr Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Actually, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Amr Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amr Reb Yochanan. Bisha'a sha'amar lo leparo li Yosef, ubiladecha, lo yorim ish es yado. So remember, again, after Yosef successfully interprets the dreams, this week's parasha, so what happens? So Paro goes ahead and makes Yosef the second in command and goes ahead and says, besides from you, no one will ever go ahead and raise him. In other words, he puts Yosef essentially in charge. He's the viceroy of Egypt. So Amu it's Danige Paro. Evet Shalachu Rabba Ba'esrim Kesef Tam Shileyu Aleinu. So the astrologers of Paro said to Paro, it's not right. So how could it be that a slave who was purchased for 20 silver pieces should now become the master over us? Meaning what? You know, it doesn't seem appropriate that a slave should become a ruler. Amar Lahem, Ginuni Malchus Ani Rabba. To which Paro responded, I see monarchical traits in him. I see, again, Rashi points out over here that Lamaise Vilakit Rashi says, Gavne Malchus Bechachma Kivura Viofi. Which monarchical traits do I see in him? He's strong, he's handsome, and he's wise. Amrulo Imken Yeheyo Devishivim Lashon. If that's the case, the astrologers said that what? That Yosef, as the ruler, should be able to go ahead and speak 70 languages. So that night, Gavriel came and taught Yosef 70 languages. But for some reason, Yosef was unable to learn the languages. So what happened? Yosef, bless you. So they added on, Gavriel added on a letter to Yosef's name, the Hey, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that additional measure of spirituality, he was able to absorb all of the languages. Shina Emar, Eidos bia Yosef shemo b'tseisu al eretz Mitzrayim. B'lemachar kolishna dishtai paro b'hadei. Adole. And the next day Paro tested him and conversed with him in all the different languages. And Yosef was able to respond, ishtai ihu b'lashna kodesh lahava kayadei mayhava. Yosef began to speak with Paro in Lashna Kodesh, right? In Hebrew. And Paro was unable to respond. Amarle agmerei. So Paro said, teach me this language. Agmarei velo gamar. Yosef tried to go ahead and teach Paro Lashna Kodesh, but Paro was unable to learn it. Amarei ishtaba li delo miglis ishtaba lo. So Paro said, swear to me that you were never revealed to anyone that I don't speak Lashna Kodesh. So Yosef indeed swore. Ki amarei avi hishbi ani leimor. Amarei zil itshal ashvu aseich. So what happened? So later on, when Yaakov Avinu dies, and Yosef wants to take him to Canaan for burial, so Yosef says to Paro, I have to take my father for burial. My father made me swear. My father adjured me that I'm going to bury him in Canaan. So Paro says, no. So why don't you just get released from the oath? Paro did not want Yosef to go to Canaan. So why don't you just get released from the oath? To which Yosef said, no problem. Listen, if we're already doing Hataras Nadarim, you know, let me get a couple of people together. And you know what? I'll get released from the oath I made to you as well. Meaning, in other words, Yosef threatened Paro. He said, if you make me obtain release from this oath, I'm going to obtain release from my oath towards you and divulge the fact that you, the all-supreme ruler, remember again, Paro was looked at not just as a king, but he was looked at as a god, as a deity. I'll tell everyone that you're not really divine because you don't even know Lashon HaKodesh. So what happened? So therefore, again, Paro, even though Paro did not want Yosef ultimately to go to Canaan, nevertheless, because again, he did not want Yosef. Good morning, Mr. Shulman. Because he did not want Yosef to go ahead and seek out annulment of his oath, therefore he let him go and bury his father. So we'll say the Gemara says Yehuda Mahi. Now Yehuda Mahi means, remember again, the Gemara in yesterday, Amud Aleph, discussed that there are two people who are Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, two people who sanctify the name of heaven. Yosef did so in private, Yehuda did so in public. So says the Gemara, Yehuda Mahi, where was Yehuda Mekadesh Shem Shamayim? It says a beautiful Gemara, Desanya, Hayar Meir Omer, Meir said, Kesha Amdu Yisrael Alayam, Hayu Shvatim Menatzchim Ze'im Ze. When Klal Yisrael was standing by the banks of the Red Sea, the tribes began to fight with one another. Listen to this. Ze Omer Ani Yorei Tchila Yam. This one said, I'm going in first to the water. Ze Omer Ani Yorei Tchila Yam. And this one said, I'm going first into the water. Top of Lamed Zayin. Yarad, excuse me, Kafas Shvato Shal Binyamin. The Yarad Liyam Tchila. So the Shevet of Binyamin, they jumped into the water first. Shnei Emar, because the Pasuk says, Sham Binyamin Tzoyer Rodem. Literally, there, Binyamin, the younger one, Rodem. Al tikri Rodem, Ella, Reid Yam. Right, so don't read it as Rodem, rather, again, Reid Yam, that Binyamin was the first one to jump into the water. V'hayusare Yehuda Rogmin Osam. And Yehuda, the heads of Yehuda were throwing stones at Shevet. They were upset at Shevet Binyamin for going in first. Shene Emar, Sare Yehuda Ragmasam. Lefichach, therefore, Zacha Binyamin Atzadik V'naase Ushpezichon Ligvura. Because of Binyamin's spiritual bravery of entering into the water first, therefore again, they became Ushpezichon, literally means the host for the Shechina. Shene Emar, Ubein Kesefav Shachin. Suppose if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ushpezichon Ligvura, Shebeis Kodshe HaKadoshim Banoi Bechelko. That the Kodesh HaKadoshim was built in the Chelek of Binyamin. It was built in the Chelek. Now again, remember, the Beis HaMikdash itself straddled the tribal areas of Yehuda and Binyamin. The line actually between the two tribal areas cut across the Mizbeach, but the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies was in the portion of Binyamin. That was reward ultimately, again, for Binyamin's spiritual bravery going into the water first. We'll say just very quickly, if you take a look at Tosfos, it's a beautiful Tosfos here. Tosfos says, top Tosfos on the daf. V'hayu sare Yehuda ragmasam rog min osam, kach shenuya breisa b'mechilten. Mashal ma'adav domer. The Tosfos gives a mashal very quickly. He says, "Lemelech basar v'adam shahayilo shnei b'nei esh shnei banim." There was a king who had two sons, echad gadol ve'echad katan, older son, younger son. Amar lekatan ha'amideni im hanitzachama. Amar legadol ha'amideni v'yigimol shavs. So the king said to the younger son, "Do me a favor, wake me up at sunrise." And he said to the older son, "Wake me up 3 hours after sunrise." Okay. So what happened? Ba katan ha'amido im hanitzachama. So the younger son came at sunrise to wake up his father, but the older son would not let him in the room. Why? Because the older son did not know of the instructions to the younger son. So the older son figured, if dad wants to sleep until 3 hours after sunrise, leave him alone. Amr lo, lo amr li ela ad gimel shos. So the older son says to the younger son, father told me not to wake him until 3 hours after sunrise. Va'katan omer lo amr li, lo amr li ela ad anitzachamo. And the younger son said, father told me to wake him up at sunrise. Mitoch shayu omdin suhuvin ninar avien. And while they were arguing, the father woke up. And amr lahen, banai, mikal makom shneichem lo kivantem el lichvodi. Both of you intended for my honor. Af ani lo ekafeach scharchem. And therefore I will not withhold reward from both of you. Mas schar not lo shifto shal b'yom she'ar leam tchila. She'shar sa shechina bechalko, shne'emar. Umas schar not lo shvato she'yuda, zachal amalchus. So both Yehuda and Binyamin had the right of their supposed to say, so saying something amazing. What was the machlokes in Binyamin and Yehuda? The machlokes is when the right moment was to go into the sea. Binyamin felt the right moment was now. Yehuda, for a variety of different reasons, felt that it was not yet the right moment. For example, the Maharshal brings down, he says that the whole night there was a ruach kadim, there was an easterly wind that was blowing, that was already beginning to separate the waters. Yehuda felt that they should wait until the wind separated the waters a little bit more so as to minimize the miraculous nature of the miracle. Binyamin said, no, the time to act is now. So the fundamental machlokes in Yehuda and Binyamin, but again, says Tosis, the father, the Ribbono Shel Olam, realized that both of his children had the greatest kavanas l'shem shamayim. They had the greatest kavanas ultimately for the sake of heaven. Therefore, both are rewarded. Binyamin is given the opportunity again to host the Shechina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Yehuda is given the gift of Malchus. I will say, an incredible, this in general is one of these incredible you sold the stick ideas in terms of, you know, people often wait for the right moment to do whatever it is they need to do. And of course, the great challenge in life is figuring out what exactly that right moment is. Sometimes conventional wisdom says, if you know you have to do something now, like Binyamin, jump in and get it done. And other times, again, one requires the machshava, the seichel of Yehuda, to say, I know this is important, but now is not the right moment, and to try to figure out when that is. Incredible idea. Back to the Gemara. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not exactly. So Rabbi Yehuda disputes Rabbi Meir's version. And Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not exactly how things went down. Rather, Ela ze omer ein ani yored tchiluliam. The ze omer ein ani yored tchiluliam. So we'll say, in Rabbi Meir's version, the Shvatim are arguing about who's going to get to go into the water first. And Rabbi Yehuda's version, they're arguing, both saying, what? I'm not going. I'm not going. And no one wants, meaning everybody's happy to be the second guy. No one's willing to be the first. What happens? Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav v'yarad liyam tchila. Until Nachshon ben Aminadav from the tribe of Yehuda was the first that went into the water for Shene Emar, because he quotes over here the pasuk, Sivavuni b'kacha she'efrayim u'bremirma beis Yisrael v'Yehuda Od Raid Am, or I should say Od Raid Imkel. So again, the Gemara uses this pasuk from Hosea to describe what's happening, that literally, again, I'm surrounded by the deceit of Ephraim, by the trickery of Yisrael, and Yehuda is the only one who is willing to go in. Va'alav mefarish b'kabbalah, and about Nachshon ben Aminadav, who went into the water first, it's said about him, Hoshi'ini Elokim, Ki ba'u mayim ad nafesh. Save me, Ribono shel Olam, because the water has literally about to take my life. Tavati, excuse me, here's the Gemara over here, is quoting from Tillim. Tavati, bivein mitzula ve'ein ma'amad. So we'll say, amazingly enough, it's also the same imagery that's used by Avraham Avinu by the Akedah, that Hoshi'ini Elokim ki ba'u mayim ad nafesh. Apparently, again, Nachshon ben Aminadav, the water did not split until he was up to his neck and ready to drown. The Gemara goes on describe using other psukim in Tehillim to describe what happened to Nachshon ben Aminadav. Al tishtefeni shibol esmayim v'al tivle'eni mitsula. Ribbono shel Olam, do not let the waters wash me away. Do not let the waters swallow me up. Ba'osa shah, so we'll say, as Nachshon ben Aminadav is literally up to his neck in water, Ramish about to drown. Excuse me. What is Moshe Rabbeinu doing this whole time? Moshe Rabbeinu is davening. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives Moshe Rabbeinu Musar, right? My children are drowning in the water and you're davening. Meaning, again, my children are davening and drowning and you're davening. So what happened? So Amar Lefana, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma Biyadi Lasos. Ribono Shel Olam said, tell me, what do you want me to do? And again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what exactly would you like me to do in this situation besides Davin? Amar lo, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Speak to Klal Yisrael and tell them that they must venture into the water. Va'ata harem ismatcho neteyas yadcho. And you, Moshe, lift up your staff and extend it over the sea and split the sea. So we'll say, incredible. This by itself is an incredible Gemara, because what this tells you is that there are times for tefillah and there are times for action. But what it also tells you more than that is there are times in life that both are required. Meaning, remember, they're not mutually exclusive pathways. That I can't go ahead and just sit back and daven and expect Ribbono shel Olam to do all the heavy lifting. On the other hand, I can't do all the heavy lifting and think that my actions alone will bring about success. I have to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ekudu Ribbono shel Olam. Life is this synergistic partnership between again, we'll call it physical hishtadlus or material hishtadlus and spiritual hishtadlus. I have to put in my spiritual effort, I have to put in my physical effort, and the combination of both creates a paradigm of success. Lefichach, therefore, Zacha Yehuda Lasos Memshala B'Yisrael. We'll say, so remember again, remember, we're in this whole Gemara because the Gemara wanted to know where was it that Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Befarhesya? Where was it that he sanctified the name of God in public? And I will say, the truth is, we already answered this earlier on because Yehuda, actual Yehuda, did this with the whole episode with Tamar. But the Gemara is asking again on a national level, where was Yehuda Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Befarhesya? Where did he sanctify the name of God in public? to which the Gemara said it was Nachshon ben Aminadav. The fact that Nachshon ben Aminadav was willing to walk into the water while everyone else is fighting and saying, not me, not me, not me, Nachshon ben Aminadav goes in, an incredible expression of faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. He was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Berabim. He sanctified the name of God in public, and therefore, Lefichach Zacha Yehuda La'asas Memshala B'Yisrael. What says incredible Yisod. Therefore, again, he was privileged ultimately again to become king. Well said, it's an incredible idea that what the Gemara is saying is that leadership is a willingness to go first, right? Leadership is a willingness, you know, what's the difference between a boss and a leader? Between a boss and a leader? A boss is someone who tells other people what to do. Okay, anybody can do that. In fact, I think most people are very proficient at that, right? Telling other people what to do. That's easy. A leader is someone who says, not just what you do, follow me. Follow me. I'm going to lead the charge, and you go ahead and follow me. That's a leader. So here what the Gemara is saying is, Nachshon ben Aminadav Shevet Yehuda exhibited leadership. So once they did that, they are privileged to become the monarchs of Klal Yisrael. Shnei Amar, Haisa Yehuda L'Kadsho, Yisrael Am Shel Osav. Literally, Yehuda became sanctified. Yisrael Am Shel Osav, Yisrael became his constituents, his subjects. Matan, Haisa Yehuda L'Kadsho, Yisrael Am Shel Osav. Why is it that Yehuda was sanctified with monarchy and Klal Yisrael became the followers of Malchus Yehuda? Mishum dehayam ra'a vayanos, because the water saw and split. In other words, a reference to the Mesiras Nefesh of Nachshon ben Aminadav. So because Nachshon ben Aminadav walked into the water split. Therefore, Haisa Yehuda L'Kadsho, Yehuda became the monarchs, Yisrael Am Shel Osav, and Klal Yisrael became the followers. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, now we're back to Har Grizim and Har Eva. We cannot get away from the Yarden. Mamish, we've been at Har Grizim and Har Eva for a while now. Bachshim, it's a big zechus. So the Gemara jumps back there for just a moment. Efshar lomar Levi lemata shekvar neemar lemalo. Efshar lomar lemalo shekvar neemar lemata. So we'll say we have a problem. What's the problem? If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, it's actually Rashi all the way on top. It's the fourth wide line from the top. Rashi says, Shekvar ne'emar levi lemalo, Moshe kasav haTorah ela ya'amdu. And next Rashi, Shekvar ne'emar levi lemata, b'sefer Yoshua, ki dechsiv v'chol Yisrael, z'ken omde mizeh u'mizeh la'aron, nega garen v'leviyim. So we'll say, so listen to this. The Gemara essentially points out we have a contradictory psukim. In the Chumash, it sounds like that Levi is on the mountain, and in Yoshua, it sounds like that Levi's in the valley between the mountains. So which one is it? Ha-ketzad, zikne kuhuna u-levi alamata, v'ashar lamalo. So first answer is, the elders of the kahuna and the levia were in the valley, were between the mountains. When I say valley, I mean in between the mountains. And everyone else was on the mountain. Rabbi Yoshia Amar, Rabbi Yoshia says, Omer, kolarai l'sharis lamata, v'ashar lamalo. The Levim who were fit for service. I will say, interestingly enough, being a Levi is a great job because you work for how long? You work from 30 to 50. You're from 30 to 50. Up until 30, you're preparing for the Avoda. You work until 50. 50 is mandatory Levitic retirement. So the idea is that the Levim who were fit for service, ultimately, again, we're on top of the mountain. We're in the valley, and everyone else was on the mountain itself. Rabbi Omer Rebbe said, no, Elovi Elu Lamata. Rebbe actually says something very interesting. Rebbe says, everyone was in the valley. So the Gemara says, Hafchu Paneim Klape Hagrizim. So what happened? When they went ahead and they said the brachas, everybody turned towards Hagrizim, Upaschu Bebracha, and they opened with blessing. Klape Har Eval. Then they went ahead and they turned to Har Eval, Upaschu Beklava, and they said the Klava. So we'll say, so three different opinions. The common view in the first two is that they're agreeing that the Shvatim are actually on the mountains, just the Shiloh where Levi is. According to the third opinion, everybody actually is in the valley, and they just turn. For brachos, they turn to Har Grizim. For klavos, for curses, they turn to Har Eval. Aye, but here's the problem. My Al, the problem is that the Pasuk says that the people stood, the Eile Ya'amdu Levarech HaSa'am, Al Hargrizim. The problem is the Pasuk says that what? That these will be the ones who will stand Al. Al sounds like what? Al sounds like on the mountain. To which the Gemara says, no, Al Besamuch. In Biblical Hebrew, Al does not have to mean on, but rather in biblical Hebrew, al could even mean next to. Kiddisanya, as we learned, the nasata ala ma'areches levona zaka. So again, the Torah, when speaking about the lechem aponim, remember the lechem aponim, the showbread, was arranged on the shulchan, and on the shulchan, the Torah says that you shall put on the ma'areches levona zaka, pure frankincense. Rebbe Omer al b'samach. So Rebbe says, it doesn't literally mean that you put the Lavona on the stack of bread. Rather, it means you put the Lavona next to the stack of bread. Ata omer al besamach o'eino ela al mamish. So maybe you'll say, maybe not. Maybe the word al actually means literally, you put the Lavona on the stack of bread. Kishu omer visakosa al ha'aron. Harvei omer al besamach. So here the Gemara brings a really an indisputable proof. The Torah, when speaking about the screen that they would put up in front of the Aron for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, says, Visakosa, literally, you shall put the paroches on the Aron. I will say paroches was the curtain that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, separated the ark, the Aron, from everything else. Al, Rabbi say, now literally does not mean what? Does not mean on. Because the parochas was not put on the Aron. Rather, where was the parochas put? It was put next to the Aron. So what do you see from here? You see from here that the word al doesn't have to mean on, but rather the word al could ultimately mean next to. Therefore, again, as much as the Torah says that these tribes will stand al hagrizim and al har eval, al need not mean on, but rather al can mean next to in the valley. Therefore, again, three-way machlokes about how the shvatim were arranged and how grizim and har eval. Next, hafchu penein klape har grizim pasach brachos. So remember again, according to this third opinion that we read, everybody standing in the valley, when they would recite the bracha, everybody would turn towards har grizim. When they would recite the klala, everybody would turn towards har eval. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, we learn, baruch bichlal, baruch beprat, aru bichlal, aru brat. So this is actually very interesting. So when uttering the curses, they would do the following. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Baruch bichlal, baruch beprat, kol habrachos v'aklalos ne'emru b'har grizin, b'har eval, bichlal u'beprat. All of the brachos, blessing and curses that were said at har grizin and har eval, were said in a general sense and in a specific sense. What does that mean? For example, the general statements were, Baruch asher yakim es divrei ha-Torah. I'm reading Rashi. Blessed is the one who upholds these words of Torah. And then the general curse was, Arur ha-asher lo yakim. And the general curse was, cursed is the one who will not uphold these words. Hari bichla v'chol achas achas beprat. Baruch v'ara baruch asher lo ya'asa pesol masecha arut. So let's listen to this. What the Gemara now explains is, ha-grizman har-ebal. So first, they said general statements. Blessed is the one who upholds the words of the Torah. Cursed is the one who does not uphold the words of this Torah. Those were general statements, and then they said specific statements. Blessed is the one who does not build graven images. Cursed is the one who does build. And every single thing was said in a general sense, and then in a specific positive sense, specific negative sense. Therefore, the Gemara says, Tana, Baruch Bechlal, Baruch Beprat, Arab Bechlal, Arab Beprat. So each blessing was said in a general way, and then in a blessing specific way. Each curse was said in a general way, and then in a specific way. Then watch this. Now, both say every single mitzvah has four parts to it. This is very interesting. Lilmod, Ulelamid, Lishmar, Vilasos. Remember again, every single mitzvah has four components to it, which is Lilmod, to learn it, Lilamid, to teach it, Lishmar, to observe it, and Lasos, to act on it. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment before you turn the page. Rashi says, Lilmod ulamid lishmar v'lasos, kol ha-mitzvos kulon t'unos arba eilam. All mitzvos require these four components. V'limaretem osam, you shall learn them. Ushmartem lasosam, you shall keep them. Uksiv v'limaretem osam es merechim, you shall teach your children. Harikar arba mitzvos t'chol mitzvah, v'aval arba asan, Nimsuru aror ubarach bechlal ubarach va'arah beprat. So listen to this. So listen to what the Gemara is suggesting. So every single mitzvah manifests itself in four ways. Okay. Now remember, every single blessing and curse, essentially on har grizin and har eval, was comprised of four parts. Right. There was the general idea, general blessing, general curse, specific blessing, specific curse. And the application of those four things is applied in four different ways. Lilmod, lilamed, actually, right. Lilmod, lilamed, lishmar v'lasos. So watch this. Hare, therefore, what do we see on the base? Hare arba. So there are four different applications of every mitzvah. Arba v'arba hare shmona. Shmona u'shmona harei sheshesrei. So we'll say it turns out that for every single statement made a hagrizim and har'eval, there are really 16 parts to it. How so? Because every single mitzvah has four parts to it. Remember, general blessing, because remember, every single specific mitzvah is still under the general blessing, general curse umbrella. So every single mitzvah has a general blessing, general curse, specific mitzvah, specific curse, and then what? Lilmo l'lamed l'shmor v'lasos. So we'll say, it turns out that for every single statement made in Hagrizim and Har'eval, there are really 16 parts to every single mitzvah or every single curse recited Hagrizim and Har'eval. So the Gemara says, V'chin b'Sinai, so to at Sinai, V'chin b'Arvasmov, so to again in Arvasmov. Also remember, Arvasmov, Sinai is Har Sinai. Arvasmov refers to the fact that in the Transjordanian lands, before Moshe Rabbeinu died, there essentially was a second Sinaitic revelation. Because remember, at Arvas Moab, there was a whole new generation. Because pretty much the generation that stood at Har Sinai had died already. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to have another national bris. I don't mean circumcision, I mean covenant. Wanted them to have another national, like a Sinaitic covenant, prior to entering into the land of Israel. Therefore, again, these 16 things that were mentioned over here, We're mentioned at Har Sinai, we're mentioned at Arvos Moav, and now we're also mentioned again at Har Grizim and Har Eval. So the Gemara says, Shine'emar, because the Pasuk says, Eila divrei abris asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. These are the words of the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. Uksiv, and it says, Ushmartim es divrei abris hazos. You shall go ahead and uphold the words of these covenant. Nimtzeis. Therefore, it turns out that what? Mem ches brisos al kol mitzvah mitzvah. Therefore, it turns out that what? That there are 48 covenants on every single mitzvah. How do you get 48 covenants? Because remember, it turns out that at each one of these, we'll call it, covenantal moments, there were 16 statements related to each mitzvah. Because remember, again, about say each mitzvah has a general blessing statement, a specific blessing statement, a general curse statement, a specific curse statement, and then what? Lilmo l'lamed lishmor v'lasos. So every single mitzvah has essentially 16 components to it, and therefore it turns out that what? That this was reviewed three times, once at Har Sinai, once in Arvas Moav, and once by Har Grizim and Har Eval. Therefore, again, 16 times 3 is 48. It turns out that every single mitzvah had almost 48 statements associated with it. So let's say, listen to this. Reb Shimon Motzi Har Grizim v'Har Eval, U'machnis O'amoy Shem Midbar. So we'll say, Reb Shimon says, take out Har Grizim and Har Eval from this list. In other words, that it's Har Grizim and Har Eval is not part of this list, because it will say, interesting, if we know, in Har Grizim and Har Eval, Reb Shimon says, they didn't go through all of the mitzvos and all of the curses. Rather, in fact, if you look at the psukim, there are only 11 that are mentioned. Only 11 that are mentioned. Therefore, again, take out Har Grizim and Har Eval, and instead, put in Ohel Moed. Look at Rashi. Umachnis Ohel Moed. Rashi says, She la'acha shehokam ha-mishkan, nidaber HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe b'yishuv. V'lomdo kol ha-Torah ki dechsiv v'aydaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lomer. So also listen to this. After Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Sinai, so Yibol Shem went over everything with him in the Ohel Moed. So it turns out, take out HaGrizim and HaReval and put it instead Ohel Moed. And I will say, now again, materially it doesn't change anything, because it turns out that there are still 48 covenants made for every single mitzvah. The only thing that changes is what? Is the location of one of those covenants. Instead of saying that one of those events took place at Har Grizim and Har Eval, didn't take place, it rather took place in Ohel Moed. Ubeplukta dahani tanoi. In reality, the Gemara says, this is part of the machlokes of this, the following machlokes tanoim. This sanya, because we learn, Rabbi Shmuel says, klolos ne'emru b'sinai. It's very interesting. Rabbi Shmuel says, klolos. We'll say klolos over here, not curses. That's with a kuf. This is general statements. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave over to Moshe Rabbeinu the general statements of Torah. Upratos bi Ohel Moed. So this is very interesting. So God gave, if you take a look at Rashi says, klolos ne'emru b'sinai, bistam ne'emra Torah b'sinai. Torah was given over stam at Har Sinai, v'lo nispar shalo, but was not really explained. So interesting, at Sinai, Reb Shimon suggests,
I'm sorry, Rabbi Shmuel suggests, Moshe Rabbeinu got the generalities of Torah, but the specifics were not explained. Where were the specifics explained? The specifics were explained in Ohel Moed, right? In the Mishkan afterwards. We'll say, now I'll just say something very interesting. Actually, before I finish it, V'nishnu b'Ohel Moed. I'm sorry. Calls down Rabbi Sinai. I brought this by Almoy. That's Rabbi Shmuel. General statements were given at Har Sinai, and ultimately, again, the specifics were given at Almoy. Rabbi says there's an incredible musr in this. The incredible musr is that in our approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first step in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blind obedience. The first step is not an intellectual connection. The first step is the Ribono Shel Olam says something. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Father. I accept. What the details, like Nasa and Ishma, what the details are, or why these things are important, or why they're relevant, or what they mean, those details will get filled in at a later date. But the first step, ultimately, is that at Har Sinai, the Ribono Shel Olam tells me things, and I say, okay, I accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me. Rabbi Kiva says, Klalos u'pratos na'emru b'Sinai, the details and the specifics were given over at Sinai. V'nishnu b'Ohel Moed, they were reviewed in Ohel Moed. V'nishtalshu b'Arvos Moav, and Moshe Rabbeinu reviewed it for a third time with Klal Yisrael. In Arvos Moav, in the Transjordanian lands. Listen to this. Ve'in l'cha kol davar mitzvah u'mitzvah shekesuva b'Torah, shelo nichrasu aleha arba'im u'shmon debrisos. And therefore, again, in reality, says Rabbi Akiva, that's what? There is no statement in the Torah that does not have a minimum of 48 covenants established. Because we'll say again, it's what we said before. Remember, each mitzvah has 16 parts to it. Remember, again, general blessing, specific blessing, general curse. Because remember, we'll say every single statement is a blessing and a curse. Because again, if it's negative, when stated in the negative, it's a curse. When stated in the positive, it's a blessing. And therefore, Lilmo Delami Vishravalasos, every single statement has 16 parts associated with it. And again, each statement was reviewed three times, which means that every single statement had 48 parts to it. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Ish Kfar Akko, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda from Akko said, Amish Rabbi Shimon, Ein lecha mitzvah mitzvah, listen to this, Sheksuva Torah, there isn't every single mitzvah that is written in the Torah, Shal Nichrasu Aleha Arbaim Ushmona Brisos, Shal Shesh Me'os Elef Ushloshes Alafim Chamesh Me'os V'chamishim. So what's the essence of this? So Reb Shimon Ben Yehuda says in the name of Reb Shimon, that every single mitzvah, in fact, has how many parts? It's 48 times 603,550, right? Why? Remember, 603,550 is the number of men between the ages of 20 and 60 who left Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Omer Arba Mishmona Brisos L'chol Echad Shal Shesh Meos Elef U'Shlosha Salafim V'Chamesh Vos V'Chamishim K'minyin Shahayu Shekol Echad Na'ase Ariv Al Kol Echad. So listen to this. Because not only do I accept 48 covenants for every single mitzvah, but also there's a din of arvos. The din of arvos says that what? I'm not only responsible for my mitzvahs, but I'm responsible for who? For you. I'm responsible for every single person, and every single person is responsible for me. Therefore, both say, it turns out that we didn't just accept 48 brisos, 48 covenants for every single mitzvah. I accepted 48 times 603,550,000. Because I'm not only responsible again for my mitzvos, I am the arif, I am the guarantor for everyone else's spirituality as well. But it gets better. Amar Rebbe, Ledivir Rebbe Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar Akko, Sha'ar Mishimon Mishimon, Ein lecha kol mitzvah mitzvah Shabbat Torah, Shalom nichrasu ala arbaim ushmon abrisos. Shal sheish me'os elef ushloshes alafim v'chamish me'os v'chamishim. So both sides. So therefore, not only are each of us responsible for 48 times 603,550,000. Nimtza l'chol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. Sheish me'os elef ushloshes alafim v'chamish me'os v'chamishim. But in fact, both sides, you take 48 times 603,550,000, and what? Multiply that by another 603,550,000, and that's the number of brisos, that's the number of covenants over every single individual mitzvah. Now, what does that mean? My benayu, and I both say now, what exactly, what is he saying? Why do I have to multiply it again by another 603,550,000? Arva, the arva, the arva. So this is, what's their machlokes? See, here's what everybody agrees with. Everybody agrees that not only are there 48 covenants on every single mitzvah, for reasons we've already established, but you have to take 48 times 603, 550,000. Why? Because not only do I have responsibility for my own mitzvahs, but what? I'm a guarantor for everyone else's mitzvah. The shaila is, are we also have an obligation to guarantee each other's responsibility to be a guarantor for one another? Right? So this goes on and on and on, right? So meaning, again, so I will say, so again, remember, so the first step is, I say each of us individually has 48 brisos, 48 covenants on every single mitzvah, but then take that a step further, because not only am I obligated for my own mitzvahs, but what? I'm obligated ultimately again for everybody else's mitzvahs, which means I take my 48, I multiply it by 603, 550,000, that gives me, again, my responsibility is individual responsibility and my collective responsibility. But now I will say, the second opinion says, but not only am I responsible for everyone else, but I'm also responsible to make sure that everyone else takes responsibility for everyone else. Therefore, it turns out that I take that number 48 times 603,550 and I multiply it again by another 603,550,000 because that represents my responsibility not just to guarantee the other, but my responsibility to guarantee that every single person is a guarantor for the other. In other words, we'll say, bottom line, there are a lot of covenants on each mitzvah, right? And I will say, the idea ultimately is, if you think about it, this is what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. What I'm saying part of Klal Yisrael is, not only am I responsible for myself, yes, apparently we know it's a huge challenge just to be responsible for ourselves. Not only am I responsible for myself, I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for me. Not only am I responsible for you, you're responsible for me, but what? I'm responsible to make sure that you're responsible for someone else, and you're responsible for making sure that I'm responsible for myself, I'm responsible for you, and I'm responsible to make sure that you're responsible for everybody else as well. It's an incredible, incredible idea about what it means. You want to know what it means to be part of Am Yisrael? You want to understand why we're not a nation like any other nation? Because we'll say, what other nation has this? What other nation has the idea, even if you believe in collective responsibility, which most nations do not, which most peoples do not. Who believes in this idea that I have to guarantee your ability to be a guarantor for someone else? This is what it means. This is what you want to know. That's what achdus means. Achdus means I feel a sense of achrayus, not just to prevent you from sinning, but I am the guarantor for your success, and I'm the guarantor that someone else is your guarantor. That's Klal Yisrael. It's amazing. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, fine. So Dorash Rabbi Huda ben Achmani, Meturgamini Rabbi Shimon Lakish. So I'll say Rabbi Huda ben Achmani, who was the Meturgaman, he was literally the translator, the spokesperson for Rabbi Shimon Lakish, said the following. Kala parsha kula lo ne'emra ella benoi veno efes. We'll say this is an incredible yisod. The entire parsha, the entire section, ultimately, of Har Grizim and Har Eval, was said only regarding a Noef and Noefes. And as we're both saying, what Reb Shimon Lakish or Reb Huda Bar Nachmani is coming along to say is the following. Take a look at Rashi. Kol HaParsha, Shehar Grizim lo Ne'emra Ela B'Noef and Noefes. We'll say, Reb Huda Bar Nachmani has a very interesting interpretation. And what he is suggesting is that all of the mitzvos, the brachos and klolos, said by Har Grizim and Har Eval, specifically the klolos, were specifically related to immorality. Even though they're not all phrased by, they're related to morality. How so? Listen to this. Arur ha'ish asher ya'aseh pesel u'maseicha. Rabbi said, listen to this. Cursed is the person who makes an idol or a graven image. Ba'ar sagile. Rabbi said, so tell me, if a person worships idolatry, that's it, they just get off with a curse, right? Meaning, in other words, if you worship idolatry, mamish, it's terrible, it's horrible. Arur is not enough. Rather, Rabbi said, get ready for the interpretation. Rather, what does this mean? Ela zeha ba'ala erva. This refers ultimately to a man who has relations with an erva. We'll say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Elazeh ba'ala erva, ishes ish. A man commits adultery. And what happens? He fathers a mamzer. Vaholid ben, they have a mamzer. Vahalach labein elvdei kochavim. Va'avan avodas kochavim. We'll say, so what happens? That child gravitates towards idolatry. And we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. You ask yourself, why does the mamzer gravitate towards idolatry? Get ready for this. We'll say, what happens with the mamzer? The mamzer is not permitted to marry into the normal pool. We'll say, what do you think is going to happen to a mamzer? Again, what the Gemara is saying is something amazing. Historically, what do you think happened to most mamzerim? What happened to them? they left the fold. They went off the derech. Why did they go off the derech? Well, because the truth is, no, they're ostracized. No one wants to be outside of the community. So again, I will say, you can have a person who, I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say, you know, when you make people choose between loneliness and God, when you make most people choose between community and God, most people choose community. Because people can't live alone. People can't live in isolation. So what happens with the mamzer? So the mamzer goes ahead and the mamzer chooses to join the other communities, right? Why? Not because I'm really rejecting God, but because I want to get married. But because I want to have a life. I want to have companionship. Ve'eino motzi ish, I'm reading Rashi, hu holech lebeina ovdei kochavim, ve'ovei kochavim arurim. So back to the Gemara. So what happens? Parents, father, a mamzer. Or I should say, give birth to a mamzer. The child goes in and leaves Judaism because he's isolated, ostracized from the community. And what happens? He marries an Ovedes Kochavim, the Oved of Ovedes Kochavim, Arurin Oved V'imo Shalzeh, Shekach Garmulo. His parents are cursed. Why? Because ultimately, again, they went ahead and they created this situation. Well, it's an incredible, incredible Yisod. Therefore, the Gemara says, that's what it's saying. Cursed are the parents who set their child up for this reality. Well, say, I have to expound on this just for a moment. You understand what the Gemara is saying over here? You know, parents sometimes go ahead and their children, you know, look, parents don't always have control over how their children turn out. That's absolutely true. Children make their own decisions. But I will say, as parents, the decisions we make, the realities we create for our children, you know, sometimes parents make decisions and say, I can't believe my kid turned out like that. Really? You really can't believe it? You put them in a particular place. You expose them to certain things. And then you're shocked. You're shocked when they make decisions that are not in conformance with the Masorah. You're shocked when they go off the derech. You're shocked. Now again, sometimes parents do everything they're supposed to do and the children still go off the derech. Children have mechira chafshis as well. I will say, it's maisim b'chol yom that parents, you'll excuse me, make the most stupid decisions. The most stupid and spiritually irresponsible decisions, allowing their kids to do things, allowing their kids to go places, allowing their kids to be exposed to things that no frum parent in their right mind should allow. And then again, my kid grows up, I can't believe they're not frum. I can't believe they're not worship culture. I can't believe they don't believe Judaism. You can't believe it? Arurim, says the Gemara. Cursed is a parent who does that. Irresponsible how you handle a beautiful neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. Parent has an obligation to sustain that, to nurture it, to nourish it, to make sure that child is growing up in a construct, and yes, in a cocoon, to the best of our ability, of spirituality. And if I don't do that, and my child, Nebuch, makes bad decisions in life, then says the Gemara, as a parent, I bear some of that responsibility. Not all of it. My child has their free will as well. And we all know a parent can make all the right decisions, but the Maaseh says the Gemara, you fathered this mamzer, and now again that child's going to become an Oved Kochavim, can't say, oh, terrible, left the derech. You created that reality. And because you, the parent, created that reality, therefore, order. Both an incredible yisod, not just by illicit relations, but incredible yisod in parenting. How careful we have to be to set our children up for success, to create the right type of lifestyle, to create the right home life, to create the right influences, to make sure we'll always know where our children are, what they're doing, what they're being exposed to. Because to wake up one day and to see my child made the wrong decisions, and I, as a parent, am partially responsible for those decisions, the Gemara says, Oror, Nebuch on such a parent, responsibility for such a parent, for the child who could have been, and instead the child who is. Parental responsibility, Rabbosai, Chazal teaching us, not just in cases of negative actions, but even just in normative day-to-day parenting. All right, do I have to stop over here? Meretz Hashem will pick up with this Gemara, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow.